Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Lifecast. The Lifecast is a weekly podcast of New Life Assembly of God located in Sparta, Wisconsin. This week, Senior Pastor Randy Williamson shares a message entitled, The Danger of a Civilized Church. If you consider yourself a civilized Christian, this message is just for you. Enjoy the podcast.
Talk to you this morning from the scripture, just a few thoughts. We're going to start with King David in the Old Testament. We're going to talk just a little bit about him because something transpired in his life. Now, we know that all kings of Israel are measured by David because he was a great king. We know that he wasn't perfect. We know that he had sin. But we also know that he was known as a man who was after God's own heart, and the way he worshiped the Lord, very zealous for the Lord, went through hard times. He was a man of war, a man of battle. He was really a shepherd to his people in a lot of ways. As you know, when he was a kid, he was a shepherd boy and anointed to be king over Israel. And we're going to look a little bit. I'm going to tell you where some references are, but because of the sake of time, I'm not going to read them all and make reference to it and just kind of give you a quick landscape or portrait of it. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, some of you would recall this. Now remember, in the Old Testament, there was the Ark of the Covenant. That's where God's presence was in this box. And they used to carry it on poles wherever they went. Well, they lost the presence of the Lord. They lost the Ark of the Covenant. It was somewhere else, because they lost it in battle and lost it in war. And so David is king, and he says, you know, we want to return the presence of the Lord where it belongs, with God's people. And so they go through all of these different things. They tried once, and it failed miserably. Then they began to understand, and he studied, and he said, you know what, there's a certain way that we're supposed to move this Ark of the Covenant, this box of God, so to speak. There's a very particular way that God wants us to move. And so they discovered that, and they began to bring it back and make the trek back, bringing the Ark of the Covenant and bringing it back to God's people. And what David did, he was so passionate. Here's a king, a man with title, a man with prestige, a man of power and influence, a man of resource. In light of the people, that would be a very sophisticated man. And here is this man, this king, who basically sheds his clothing other than just really what was just an undergarment. And he, as they were bringing the presence of the Lord back, the Ark of the Covenant, he was dancing in front of it as they were bringing back the presence. He was dancing and shouting unto the Lord and glorifying him in, you know, just undergarment, James. The people were celebrating that the presence of the Lord was back. He blesses everybody, and he returns home. And his wife begins to criticize him and tell him how he presented himself in the eyes of people, dancing like that, only wearing a linen ephod, just an undergarment. And he turned to her and he said, I will become even more undignified than this. See, David was very passionate and very zealous about God. He was a worshiper. And it didn't matter so much how he looked in the eyes of people or according to human wisdom. He was worried about pleasing God. The interesting thing that happens to humanity still, and throughout the Old Testament, you'll see it in Israel, you'll see it in the New Testament, you will see that people get in trouble. Oh, God, help me, help me. God helps, brings good days, and then what happens? They slowly forget. They forget. The passion dwindles, the commitment dwindles. They still remember his name. And Israel, God's people, were doing this all the time in the Old Testament. Well, I want you to know, after this experience of David's zeal in somewhat of barbaric actions, very uncivilized, because his heart was pure to worship the Lord, they won battles. His kingdom was being established. It was good days, very good days. You will go to the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel, and it starts out and it says, it was spring, and in that time of the year when all kings went to war, David didn't go. He didn't go this year. And you will find in that chapter, as his troops are out fighting against other lands and under other pagan nations, David did not go to battle that year. David stayed back. Didn't have the passion, didn't have the feel like he carried that responsibility. And in chapter 11, he walks out while his men are at war. He walks out on the balcony or the terrace, and he's overlooking, and he sees a woman, Bathsheba, taking a bath, and says, bring that woman to me. Now, she's married, and he commits adultery. And you think, how can this man, who brought in the presence of the Lord, who the Lord has been good to, and he's been good to the Lord, and he commits this sin? You see, it's interesting. You know, one of the things that happens, and we're faced with it today in our own lives, one of the greatest enemies of the North American church is this, that we have become very civilized. I'm not suggesting to you that we need to be barbaric. It's just that something happens when we become civilized. We begin to get concerned about, after we have accomplishments, after we've had some good days. Because how many of you like to lose what you have? Nobody likes to lose what you have. And so when you have something, or you feel you have something, you don't want to put it at risk. You go in a different mode than when you were young and you were hungry and you had, you know, the eye of the tiger. Go ahead, grab your Bibles, turn to Rocky chapter 3. If you grabbed your Bible and you're looking for it, I want you to know that you are pure of heart. I'm not suggesting to you to watch the movies. Maybe you've watched them, maybe you haven't. Maybe that's very offensive to you in a personal way, and I'm not suggesting that you compromise your standards, but I will just tell you this, that the other night I was with my son. We decided to turn on the TV, and it was one of those moments where I could have a breather, and Rocky was on. You know, he's a boy. I'm still a boy inside this old man's body. And I still like I know I'm wearing a pinstripe suit, but underneath all this, I'm a man's man. Okay? It's just what are you doubting me? No, I can't. Don't hurt me. And I still he's gonna win, right? But it's interesting, he loses this fight, and the sermon's not about this, but I want you to catch something in very layman's terms. He loses this fight, and Apollo Creed from Rocky chapter 1 says to him, because now he's going to coach him, he says this, your problem, Rock, is that you've become civilized. He's won, he's got the titles, he's gotten comfortable with it. And Apollo Creed takes him back to the beginning where Apollo trained, and he takes him to this street place and into this gym, and they walk in, and all these guys who are sparring and training, everything. They stop and they look. And Apollo Creed says to Rocky, he says this, he says, look in their eyes. He said, Rocky, you had that look when I fought you. And I haven't seen that look in you anymore. The look of hunger. You're hungry. You're thirsty. You will do whatever it takes to win and get a shot at the title. The TV's going, but I'm starting to think. In the context of where I live, as a man of faith, as a pastor, and Phil, I started to think, you know, same thing happens to Christians. The same thing has happened to the church. God blesses, he brings us through things, we accomplish some things. Comfortable. I mean, can you remember early days of maybe churches you've attended, maybe this one, where you really had no money in the bank as a church? You're trying to get a building or do a building or make payments on a building, and yet a missionary comes and you take an offering for them, and yet you're having a hard time paying the bills, but your faith moved you. And you sacrifice. You do what is uncivilized because you're trying to get somewhere. You're trying to do something in faith. You're trying to show your allegiance to Christ in this gospel that sets you free. And then somewhere along the way, buildings get nicer. Church grows. There's a little money in the bank. Things are pretty good. And now, let's just kind of play it safe. And we become civilized. We start to act civilized. We start to form a culture within the church of what's appropriate and what's looked down on, and that's not civilized. We don't do that here. We get caught up with choir robes. We get caught up with landscaping. We get caught up with all of these things. And you know what? They have a place, and they're important. Don't get me wrong. Those things are important. But the interesting thing I find is that Jesus never talked about them. Jesus talked about things like this. The kingdom of God is near. Go and heal the sick. Make disciples. Set the oppressed free. He talked about revolutionary things. Things that would change people's lives. Things that would give people hope. Not we've gone through some battles. It's established, and now when it's time for war, we just kind of hang out in the palace. Not just as a church as a whole, but in our personal lives. You will see this happen in people's lives. You'll see this happening with businessmen or businesswomen and business owners sometimes. You will see that they've established, and then, you know what? The hunger's gone. The barns are full, and now it's preservation mode. I want you to know that that's not what the church is about. It's still about a zeal. It's about a passion. It's about disciplining ourselves in good times. One of the biggest questions I have is, Lord, can I serve you with passion and zeal when times are good? It almost seems easier to serve God and have a genuine faith when things are tough. Because it's like circumstances, situations drive us to our knees. But what about willingly going to our knees when it's good? Things are fine. When cancer doesn't hit our home or our loved ones. But Randy Williamson served God when things are good. That's just a personal question I ask of myself. Because Jesus talks about really a revolution, something to set people free. You have to understand that before civilizations took place, there was a revolution. Right? You look at how countries are formed. You look at how this country was formed in its history. There was a revolution. They established a new kingdom, and you know what? It was a battle, and they were barbaric about it, but they were zealous. They were passionate. They were committed. And look what happens when a civilization begins to form or people get civilized. Once again, I'm not telling you that we've got to act crude because crudeness is what gets you into heaven. That is not it at all. But I'll say this about being crude or raw. Is that we become great candidates to be shaped and molded as raw material, earnest, honest material in the hands of the Lord. David was like that once. He recovered it again, but he lost it for a period of time. And I look at my life, or I look at the church, or the church at large, and I think, you know, we just become civilized. That we're supposed to come into church, and we think that standing like this in the pew is what God likes and what's holy. It doesn't mean that jumping around gets you closer to God either. It's about what's going on the inside, but what's going on in the inside has got to find its way out. Our faith in Christ is very personal, but you know what? It's got to make its way public. Who Jesus was. And he spent his time talking about the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of heaven come to earth, a new kingdom, a revolution that would put aside worldly kingdoms. Kingdoms of darkness would be put away, and the kingdom of his light would come, the light of men. You know, in college, if you don't mind me just reminiscing a little, once again, this old body was young once. I'm telling you, remember this. Your chance will come for you to have love handles. Say what you want. Mr. Invincible, they come, and they like to stay. I remember a switch flipped in me. You know, I was a kid, and my dad was he still is a great dad. Got me in sports, took me, made me, you know, same time breathed down my neck. Under his scrutiny, and it was good. It did compel me. But you know what? When I went off to college, he didn't come with me. I was on my own, and a switch flipped in me. I developed the aggressiveness that he wished I would have had as a kid. It's true, Darwin. And I remember, throughout my college basketball years, I remember that I wore the marks that were contrary to mediocrity because there was no skin on my knees most of the year. It was gone. I remember at night laying in bed and getting up in the morning and getting out of bed and dragging the sheet because it's part of my scabs. On the count of three, you know, and I would do like my dad did. One, You know, I bore the marks that said you're going to play a little bit of barbaric basketball. It was about getting the job done. It wasn't about trying to preserve your body. It was about getting the ball. And you do whatever it takes to get the ball. And you spend yourself. You know what I'm talking about. If you're athletes in this room, you've done it. If you are artists, if you whatever it is you do, if you're going to do something wholeheartedly, you will bear the marks that are contrary to mediocrity. I played against civilized ball players, guys who had reputation, guys who were good. And you come out and play tough defense on them, like I'm supposed to just like let them walk in because, you know, they're good. Well, I didn't grow up that way. I was forced not to grow up that way. It's like, hey, come on. My shoes are shiny and I got a good jump shot and nobody plays defense on me. I said, well, it's a new day. And you bear marks, and I start to think, you know, do we as the church bear marks that are contrary to mediocrity? Or have we become civilized in the way we do church? Because I'll tell you this, that mediocre people go to church, but revolutionaries are the church. There's a difference. Those who want this kingdom of heaven to come to earth to set people free, not from politics and not from government, but free in here. That we can live under the tyranny of governments any place in the world, but you and I can still be free because Christ frees us from the wages of sin that bring death. It changes our perspective that we can bring hope to people who are broken and bruised and lost, just like we were, just like we are, still wrestling through a faith because Christ is one who sets us free, that we can have a passion about that. Civilization and being civil as a Christian, we will never lead a revolution. We get into a mode of self-preservation. I want you to know that self-preservation is contrary to faith. Self-preservation will stifle the anointing or the empowerment of God. Self-preservation. I want you to look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7 talks about a man, Stephen, who is this, he's a Christian man, anointed by God. He's going and bringing the good news. God is using him to do what Jesus did, set oppressed people free, bring them hope. He prays for them, lays hands on them, they're healed, just like Jesus did, because he believes in Jesus. He preached the good news of the gospel. He preached that sins could be forgiven. And the religious leaders didn't like it. So they planted people in the crowd to stir up trouble. Then Stephen is seized, and he's brought before the religious leaders. He's brought before the Sanhedrin, and they begin to look down on him and inquire of him, to pass sentence on him. Stephen. If you look at his response to their questions, who ends up being taken out after this session and being stoned to death. They stoned him to death. Blows, mighty blows to his body. And Stephen's response to the Sanhedrin, he was not interested in self-preservation. He was there to be a witness of Jesus Christ to them. That was his goal. That was his passion. It sounds barbaric. It sounds, no, preserve yourself, preserve yourself. Instead, Stephen, his goal was to be a witness, not to save himself. becoming civilized, we're concerned about saving ourselves. We don't want to be outside the mainstream. We want to fit in the big fat middle somewhere. We want to kind of look like the rest of the crowd, act like the rest of the crowd, and just kind of move along. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is coming. Pray that the kingdom of God will come to earth. That God's will that is done in heaven could be done right here on earth in our lives. It's found in the Lord's Prayer. Where's my commitment? Where's our commitment? Where's our passion, our zeal for the one who gave his life, the one who really sets us free? Because being civilized, we will lull ourselves into mediocrity in our faith. And we will be caught thinking we're okay, and it turns out that we're not. That we slowly lose our way. You know, the Apostle Paul said it this way to the Corinthian church, because there are things that feed us to be civilized. Sometimes it's the accomplishment. Sometimes it's the praise and the approval of people rather than the ultimate approval from God. He said it this way. He said, I did not come to you with persuasive words. I didn't come to you in human wisdom. I came to you by demonstration and the Spirit's power, that your faith would not rest upon human wisdom, but rather your faith would rest upon the power of God. Because human wisdom, it puffs us up. People look at us like, oh, they're smart. Oh, they're this, and they know that. And the Bible's very clear that human wisdom, knowledge puffs up, leads us to pride, and we begin to feel like we can accomplish things apart from God. We no longer clothe ourselves in humility. We clothe ourselves in other things, like human wisdom, pride, garments that seem to look good to people. But to God, those garments are offensive. You'll recall scriptures where Jesus is speaking. In Luke chapter 12, verse 35, he says this, be dressed and ready for service like a man waiting for their master to arrive home. In other words, have your work clothes on. Have your clothes ready to serve your master for when he returns. That is what the church is supposed to be like. Another place Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 22, he says, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man was there not wearing wedding clothes. It was a wedding. It was a reception. It was a gathering. And the king walks in and says, there's a man over here. He's not wearing wedding clothes. He goes to the man. He says, how did you even get in here? The man was speechless. He was caught. Thought he could make it in, wearing garments that were not appropriate. And the king goes to the attendants and says, you tie this man by his hands, by his feet, and you throw him out in the darkness. And Jesus says it will be like that on the day. For those of us, our faith was not something that was real and moved us and compelled us and was personal in him. We stopped going to war and having the hunger and the eye of the tiger about our faith. We think we'll just kind of coast into the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus says on that day, a king will come in. He will be that king. Say, how did you get in here? You are not wearing garments that are approved of. You've clothed yourself in something else that had nothing to do with God's grace or God's mercy. It was a garment of self-preservation. It was a garment that was attractive to the human nature that is contrary to God. You know, we as people, we like to protest a lot of things. Even sometimes like to protest things in the church. But when will our faith and our passion deepen and heighten and take greater breadth? We will begin to protest sin in our own life. Not just on some campaign and picketing and doing these things. I'm not talking about that kind of protest. When will we take that kind of energy and focus and protest sin in my own heart and in our own lives? We will begin to understand that His grace and mercy was to cover sin and, yes, compel us now to move and live differently. That we are called to make disciples, not hold church. The desire again, the hunger again for God, to see other people free from what they deal with, to be moved with the kind of compassion that Jesus Christ had. There are people all around us troubled. In fact, there's a chance that somebody's sitting in the same pew as you, who needs the kingdom of heaven to come and wage war against that which troubles them inside. Because the good news of Jesus Christ has not changed. And if we think that we can just walk in church and look right and act right and walk out and think that does something for us, listen, that's like standing in a garage thinking, hey, man, if I keep standing in this garage, I know I'm going to become a car. I know if I just kind of stand in church and go through the motion and leave, I just know that I'll be okay with God. That is what's civilized. That is what holds faith at bay. Rather than progressing and pushing in our hearts and lives to take us to do things that may not look civilized in human wisdom, but it is filled with passion and purity for the cause of Jesus Christ and the gospel and freeing people from what they carry. Jesus came to save, not condemn. The only ones that Jesus had trouble with, he never really had trouble with sinners. He hung around with them. The people who Jesus had a problem with were the civilized religious leaders. And it wasn't just because they were wearing fancy robes and all this kind of thing. Is they were about self-preservation. They were about oppressing the people. They were about trying to control and have power. And Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven against the kingdoms of dark religion that did it in the name of God and said it's about setting people free. It's about good news. It's not about like, you have to do this and you can't do that. Yes, there's holiness and there's standards, but if you do these and don't do this and then you're good enough, that never changed anybody's heart inside. Jesus says if we can touch the heart of people, they'll know what to do and what not to do. Because it's about an internal change, no matter what the environment or the culture's like. That was the revolution. And so he said to the disciples, follow me. They were called disciples, but he was making revolutionaries for the sake of the betterment of people. Maybe you're in this room this morning. Worship team, you can come. You're in this room this morning, you're saying, you know what? I have become so passive, so mediocre, so lackadaisical in my faith in Christ. I hear this morning, and I think, oh my. Oh my. God, I'm sorry. And it's not to make anyone feel guilty. It's that we would be compelled and driven to the truth. It's It's to become like the one who saved us, the one who gave his life for us. We're just going to be civilized and lose our way? Or will the deep passions of a person who is a revolutionary grab us and move us in against the things that hurt and damage people? Move us in the power of his love, the power of his mercy, the power of faith to bring healing and restoration to people who are downcast and broken. You might be in this room and you're downcast and broken. You deal with something, and I want you to know he is the one who sets us free. That's why he gave his life, was for you. The power of his pure blood continues to drive through time and reach us here. One man died for all, and all who were to come. That's mercy. Because I don't deserve it. But he still did it for a guy like me. He did it for a guy like you, for a woman like you. There is no freedom like the freedom found in the forgiveness of sin. The guilt is washed away. The consequences of sin are washed away. We can be made clean and right. And that we can take that same good news and put your arm around somebody else who's hurting or lost or bruised or broken, troubled by their past. The sweet power of Jesus. That's what's important. And it's that kind of living faith that moves us beyond being civilized to doing something. Don't talk about religion and don't talk. No, I ain't talking about religion. I'm going to talk about Jesus. Because he's the answer for the human heart. There's no greater love than that, than one who laid down his life for another. So I want you to stand all over this room. We're going to enter into, again, for a couple of moments here, into a time of just praise and adoration to the Lord. You know, that hunger and that desire. Here's the reality. The reason that I don't have more of God in my life is not limited by God. It's limited by me. Because you and I can have as much of God as we hunger and thirst and desire. And if we don't have that, then we just put ourselves at distance. He can try to reach us. We don't respond. It's not about the formality of religion. Never helped anybody. It's about a personal friendship, relationship with Jesus. It's about a real personal faith. Things that you feel personally, the things you have felt personal about over time, they've gripped you. They've become a part of you. They've helped shape how you think and how you perceive things. How is it when we come to faith in Christ that it has to be some formal thing out here, distant, where we can kind of touch it, but not really? Jesus has come to penetrate the human heart, to save you and save me. You can have as much as God as you desire. What's your hunger? What's your thirst? What's your discipline and determination for him? I know that mine's got to increase. You're looking at a man who's who's preaching to himself. This is not about me up here and you down there. We walk on common ground in this place. Every one of us needs him. We need more of him. So this is what we're going to do. They're going to lead us in a couple worship songs. And if you're saying, I need my faith rekindled, I need to have that passion and desire, I need to move forward in my faith in Christ, I need to leave this civilized formality and press into what is personal and right and genuine, then as they begin to lead us, this is what we're going to do. Because it would be just civilized for me to say, let's just close in prayer and dismiss you, and see, then you could just, you know, I'm not going to let you off the hook. Smile at me. They lead us in these worship songs. You say, you know, I need my faith rekindled. I need it to become personal in me just a little bit more than where it's at. As they begin to lead us, I'm going to have you slip out of your seat if this is something that you feel you need to respond to. If you're willing to be a little outside of what's civilized, move from where you are and just come and stand across the front. We call this the altar area. It's just what we call it. You just come and stand across the front, and you can just pray. You just say, Lord, that's me. I need you to do that in me. Maybe you want to sing the choruses in response to God. But you know as well as I do, anytime we make an inward decision, there's always an outward action, an outward expression. Somewhere along the line, you know what a person's thinking and feeling and all of those things and what's real to them, because it comes out somewhere. It comes out in the way they act or what they say, whatever it is. If you're saying, I'm already on that track, I'm already pressing with God, I'm then you know what? You don't need to come. I mean, you can stay right where you are and worship the Lord. But we're going to do this for a couple of choruses. And so as they begin to lead, you say, that's me. I need to renew. I need to, maybe you're here and don't even have a relationship with Christ. You're saying, I need to start that. Then you know what? You can slip out from where you are and just come and say, Jesus, I'm standing here. I'm kneeling here because I need it to be real for me. This is not about playing church. If we're doing that, you got the wrong pastor. I am not interested in playing that. It's got to be real for us. Let Christ set you free. Freedom. Freedom. So if you need to respond, you may already be a Christian, you may not be. You just come. Come and stand and just worship, talk to him. That's what we're going to do. All right? Good. You don't have to wait. You can start coming. You can start coming right now. Go ahead and lead us, Sherry, worship team. Good. Just say, I need a rekindling of my faith. I need that passion, desire again. I need to return to like when it was new. I need to do this for the first time. I need to have a place of prayer right now as I hear this message of God in my ears and heart. I need to respond right now. Don't feel pressure. Don't feel the guilt if you don't come. You need to maybe you're here and you need to work through this. You can't just make a quick decision saying, I got to wrestle through this. Am I going to make my faith move it to the forefront of my life? You just keep coming. As you come, move up a little bit. Make room for others. Come on. Pray to him. Rekindle it, Jesus. You just start to pray. If you need forgiveness of sin, confess it, ask. He'll forgive you. How great is our God? Come on. Come on.
Beginning and the end.
What I'd like us to do. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, or it's been a long time and your faith has just kind of faded away, this is what I'd like all of us to do. If you know that's you in this room, as we're going to all pray this out loud, you just make this very real between you and the Lord. I just want to lead you in a prayer. It's just a prayer of restoration. You're just saying, Lord, I want you to restore me. I want to restore a right relationship with you. But we're all going to pray this together, okay? I just want to kind of lead you in it, okay? So you just go ahead and you kind of repeat this prayer with me, would you? Lord Jesus, thanks for loving me just the way I am. With my sin and with my mistakes. So I ask you to forgive me of all my sins throughout my life. I need your mercy and your grace. Thanks for being so kind to me. And revealing who you are to me. That you are full of grace and truth. And I confess you today, Jesus, as the Son of God, as my Savior, and that through you, and through you alone, my sins are forgiven. So come into my heart and into my life every day. Let me be aware of your presence and help me draw closer to you, that my faith would be personal, it would be real, it would be genuine, it would be fruitful, and that it would become public by the way I conduct myself, by the choices I make, by the words I say, and the way I treat other people around me. Let my personal faith in you become evidence against mediocrity. In your name, Jesus. Amen. He's just so kind. He's so good. He's just so good to us. Those words sound so small and insignificant, but he's just so good to us. So good to me. I'll tell you what, if you want to stay at this altar area and you want to stay and pray a little more, if you want to linger, or if you want to come and pray with somebody, or if you need somebody to pray with you, just kind of hold your hand up, and our deacons are around, or our deacons' wives are around. You just hold your hand up if you're up here, and one of them are going to come to you and just say, you know, I'll just pray with you. I want you to know you can feel comfortable to do that. Right over here, we need a deacon's wife. Would you please have our deacons' wives make their way over here? Thank you, Carol. Anybody else just want somebody to pray with them? It's okay. Just slip your hand up so they can do it. Don't be embarrassed by that. Just, we all need somebody praying with us from time to time. Anybody else? Or if you want to pray with, yeah, right here. We need a deacon right here with Jimmy, or Pastor Aaron. Pray with Jimmy. Thank you. So if you want to stay, you can. If you need to go, Lord bless you. Have a great day. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. And as you're going today, share the joy of the Lord with people. And worship team, why don't you go ahead and lead us in that last chorus as people are being dismissed or they want to stay. Thanks, Sherry and worship team. God bless you.
I'm coming your way. I'm coming your way.
Thank you for listening to The Lifecast. The Lifecast is a podcast of New Life Assembly of God located in Sparta, Wisconsin. You can log on to our website at www.spartanewlife.com. Thank you again for listening, and join us next time on The Lifecast.